And we are now live with Joe Gunn of Royal LePage Performance Realty. Joe, are you there?
Yes, I am, Jamie.
Good evening, and thank you for coming on live with SeawayRadio.com.
Congratulations for this effort on your part.
Thank you very, very much. I couldn't have done it with all the support of all of our advertisers, sponsors, listeners, viewers, and people that try and head me down the right direction.
Well, make sure it's always the right direction.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
So who's going to win the hockey game tonight? I know you're coming on before it gets going and that you're anxious to go watch Canada kick some Russian butt.
My heart's with Canada, but my head tells me they're not going to win.
Uh-oh. Why do you say that?
Because I think that the Russians have a better team.
Oh, that's sacrilege. People are going
to... I know it is. I'm going to be shot tomorrow when I step out of the house, but, you know, you ask me a question, that's the answer. I said my heart's with Canada.
Why do you think Russia has a better team? Where are they better than Canada?
Well, I would think, first of all, between the pipes and in firepower.
Really?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to watch today because only one of them is moving on, you know. Just one of them is moving on, so it'll be very interesting to see what happens.
This is definitely a money game.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely.
So did you put any of your 2-bit bets out for this game?
Nope. They tried to get me at lunchtime, but I wouldn't spend any money. I'm cheap when it comes to that. Hell, I won't bet more than 25 cents on an election.
I know. I think I have, what, 6 or 7 bets with you already on the next election or two.
And they're all for 25 cents.
All of them.
Well, that's all I can afford. I can't afford to lose. You know,
exactly.
My taxes are going up every day. Pretty soon I won't be able to bet 25 cents. I won't
have
this.
Which taxes are you talking about? Your federal taxes, your provincial taxes, or your city taxes?
Well, at this particular point in time, we'll know next week what happens to the federal tax. But the provincial tax and the municipal taxes are both going up. We know that.
Arenas cost a lot of money, and that's funded by all three levels of government.
Yes, I know that. Next week, was it Wednesday? The federal budget comes down Wednesday?
I believe so.
Yeah, I don't think that the feds will raise our taxes. I don't think they would dare. I'm looking for some corporate tax cuts because they've got to keep this recovery moving, and the only way they could do that is to give cuts to business. You know, in spite of the arguments that labor puts out, we know that when governments give tax cuts, it creates more jobs. We know that.
Is this going to be the 5-minute argument or the full half hour?
No. You asked me my opinion. I've given it to you.
Well, I understand. And do you think that the budget is going to trigger an election?
No. Gosh, no. No. I don't think anybody can afford an election. Well, the Tories seem to have lots of money, but I don't think the other parties can afford it. And the thing is that when they have an election, they better have some idea that they're going to win.
Can the country afford it with the recession and some people are talking about a depression coming down the line? Can we afford to spend a whole whack of money for an election without a clear issue?
I don't know. I'm not that negative. I don't look for a depression. I even consider a good recession is just a correction. I dabble in the stock market. I'm not an expert at it. If I was, I'd be wealthy. But I like doing it because everything that happens there on Bay Street from 9:30 in the morning to 4 o'clock at night reflects the next day on the street.
That's true.
You know, I studied economics at school. We don't teach kids enough economics. They don't understand what a dollar will do.
We just give them a credit card. We don't give them dollars.
Well,
we just give
true.
Them plastic.
Yeah, plastic money now, yeah. Well, I see in United States they banged that, came up with new legislation on credit cards yesterday. Nobody under the age is it 20?
70.
20. Can get a credit card now unless their parents, I'm talking about students, unless their parents sign for it. What card companies have done, and they did it with my daughter. And my son, when they were in school, they just give them credit cards. They sure they only give them $500 limit. But remember how much, how long $500 lasted you in college? Lasted you for a weekend.
That's a good weekend. If you don't have that many friends.
Yeah, and then they just kept raising the limit. And crazy kids in school, if they've got the money, they'll spend it. Dad gives them an extra $200 when they're home for the weekend. It's gone.
Well, don't forget the student loans.
Well, that's another thing they have to do is pay back their loans. And I don't think that we should be charging kids the interest that we charge on student loans. You know, I think that there should be a way that they pay them back. Of course they should pay them back. But they should pay them back on their ability to earn money. You know, we get kids that graduate from school and have to declare bankruptcy because they can't afford to pay their loans. I mean, that's ridiculous. But then,
well, it's
ridiculous. We're here, we are talking politics, and you didn't want to talk politics.
I don't mind talking politics. A lot of people don't know, for instance, that because there's different ways to talk politics. And, for example, a lot of people, you know that you have a history as a school board trustee, but not everybody knows you have a history as a school board trustee.
Yeah, that's municipal politics, and that's basically a hell of a lot different than federal or provincial politics.
That's true.
I think as a municipal politician, you're a lot more responsible for your position with the people. It's easier to toss you out than it is to toss out a provincial member or a federal member. And yet, in school board elections, I don't know what it is in city council elections, but in school board elections, 93% of incumbents are returned to office. I mean, that's incredible. Once you get there,
How many people vote in school board elections compared to a city council position?
Because
a lot of people don't even know what a trustee does.
Yeah, well, they don't have off years anymore because now they're all regulated at 4 years. But when they had the off year elections, school boards turned out maybe 20-22%, where municipalities turned out 40-45%. And federal used to be in the just south of 60%, the same thing with provincial. But now I think that federal and provincial are down around 50%.
Well, it's very sad when people don't use their vote because people died and societies were built on the precedent of all of us being able to vote. And it's a privilege. It's not a right, and people should cherish it more.
I've got a couple of relatives buried over in the Pacific Theater that decided that they were going to spend the rest of their waning days over there because they could make it free for us. I lost an uncle and a cousin, an uncle in the Second World War and a cousin in Korea, both in the U.S. Marines, by the way.
Well,
but they had this dream that things would be better back home, and are they? I don't know. They're the only people that in our family, and I come from a military family, but they're the only people that didn't come back.
Joe, what do you think the key reasons are that people just don't vote anymore, don't seem to care? There's a huge apathy wave in Canadian politics, especially in young people.
It matters. I mean, why would anybody want to get excited about something if nothing is going to change? We're getting change. Like Obama preaches change. My God, that's change. I don't want that kind of change. I don't want that kind of change.
I hear a lot that people say the system doesn't work. The system doesn't work. The system's corrupt. And I tell people the system works, and it works better than the alternative. And I ask them to point out a better system than the one we have, because I'll use an example of the Arena Project here, which I have been on record as saying I would not have supported as it stands.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is that there was a select group of people that really wanted it, and they worked their butts off, and they lobbied, and they got the support of the people that made the decision to allow that project to go through. And they did a better job of pushing their position than the people that didn't want the Arena Project to go through.
The system did work. Yeah, it's not that I disagree with your stand on that. It's just that we look at it from a different standpoint. I believe in the quality of life, and I believe the quality of life for the kids, and not my kids, because my kids are gone. They went off to university, and they're not coming back here. But some people's kids will be here, and they're going to want to skate, and they're going to want to play hockey. And I'm not going to begrudge them of that. We need that kind of stuff. We need tracks. We need swimming pools. You know, we need these things. We spend our lives breaking our ass so that somebody else can benefit. Now, that's not right. That's not right. We owe ourselves something. We owe ourselves some time off.
I agree with you, but there still has to be a certain degree of accountability. And, you know, everybody, I'm sure, would love to drive a brand new Cadillac or a brand new, you know, Jaguar or a brand new
Porsche. Porsche.
But not everybody in this world can afford a brand new. So they have to buy either a used car or they have to buy, you know, a less expensive car. And I think that can come to capital projects like arena projects as well. And, you know, it's not a crime when the main goal is to focus on making sure that there are facilities for groups that warrant it. We're facing issues in Cornwall with having to close down swimming pools. And, for instance, Councillor Carr has pointed out the cost per swim. And if you look at the cost per skater, you know, as someone that pays federal, provincial, and municipal taxes, I just shook my head when I looked at the numbers for this project. And, you know, at what point do you draw the line? And, you know, we had groups like the Minor Football Association where they came to city council with $100,000 in cash, and they said, we need an artificial turf field. And this project, which can be used for more than football, is going to cost $1 million. But here's 10% of the money. Can you work with us? And I thought that was a great proposal, a great plan, a great project, and certainly deserved consideration. But then with the hockey people that were behind the arena project, you didn't see that. You didn't see a bag of money equaling 10% or even 5%. It's being funded on the backs of the taxpayers of Cornwall. So where do you draw the line to either having a lesser project or not going through with a certain project if it's really cost prohibitive?
But that was initiated by the municipality. It was council that initiated that project. Go back to the, let's take for instance the civic complex. That project was initiated by the Kinsmen Club. The Kinsmen Club came up with that idea, took it to City Hall, sold it. Ed Lumley was mayor at the time. The Kinsmen Club gave them a check for $50,000 and a pledge for $50,000 more. And I think that was 1971 or 72. It was a hell of a lot.
But you hit the nail on the head. They showed up with a check and they said, we're going to give you another check. When a group comes to the table with a bag of money and says, work with us, I think it's a lot different than when a group comes to the table without a bag of money.
Well, they did the same
thing
with
the
curling
current funding club.
The curling club. The curling club was, that was initiated by curlers. They went to the city and they raised money. And the swimming pool, the people that wanted that raised, well, they raised $1 million or so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want these things. We need them. The hockey rinks were initiated by the city. It wasn't by some group that went to the council and said, look, we need new arenas. Well, if the stuff that we're using that our kids are in now are almost unsafe. I mean, the Bob Turner is what? Was built in the 30s? No, I think it was the 30s. And Water Street was built in the 40s. I mean, God, these buildings are old. The Water Street Arena, a third of it's condemned. You know, we've got to replace these things.
I bet you as a real estate agent, especially one that does as much commercial real estate as you do, would love to have the contract to sell those two properties, those two parcels of land.
Of course I would, because they're valuable pieces of land. I don't know what's going to happen up at the Bob Turner. I don't know what they'll do with that. But, you know, the Water Street Arena, that's an ideal spot for condominiums. You're overlooking
Well, especially
the park.
With the other parcels around it. You've got where
yes.
the old radio station was and where the old
Emart family,
was.
Paul Emart owns that. And then west of that again is the two pieces of land where there used to be apartment buildings there that the city now owns.
Mm-hmm.
So the city owns two-thirds of that block, and Paul Emart owns the other corner. But I don't know what the hell Paul's going to do, but I he's a progressive guy. He's a good citizen, and I'm sure that he's going to want to see that property utilized for something like condominiums or a place for elderly people to retire and look at the river and have some, maybe walk over to the riverbank and throw some stones at the fish and stuff like that. I don't know, but you know, we we must maintain a quality of life. And in Cornwall, as you know, our people are getting older. We're way above the national average for retirement. We have more retirees. Mm-hmm. Well, we're about 3-4% above the provincial average. People are coming here to retire. And I think that's great. The people retiring today have more disposable income than any generation before them. They've got money. Let's utilize that. You know, our council sat on its butt for 30 years and said, you know, we're going to develop the country. We're going to develop the city. General Motors is going to come here. We'll get Chrysler's here. We'll get all the... Yeah. That's a lot of malarkey. We're going to get some real nice people that want to retire here. And we spent 30 years keeping them out of town.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with bringing in retirees to Cornwall. I think it's a great idea. And the thing is
I don't think they've got the money these people have.
These people have a lot of money. And you don't. It doesn't mean that families won't come because retirees are coming. I mean, you can have different elements and classes of people come into Cornwall. You can have immigrants come to Cornwall. You can have families come to Cornwall. You can have seniors. The point is that to grow Cornwall, to make the tax base more manageable, you need to grow the city. And there's room to grow here, and it's going to be very interesting over the next 3, 5, 10, 15, 20 years to see how Cornwall evolves. I mean, you're going to have that Domtar site that will be at some point fully developed, and the waterfront has a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, 50 years from now, we won't recognize this city.
I think it'll be 10. I think you had 2-bit bet on that one. Then 10 years, you won't recognize Cornwall, at least along that corridor.
Well, you're going to need $200-300 million to do that waterfront. We don't have that kind of money.
Well, it should be interesting to see how it does evolve.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, I wish I was around to see it. But it won't be my lifetime, I don't think.
Well, before I let you go, we were talking, and you told me that you saw Bob Marley perform in Barbados, I believe.
At the Globe Theater in 1971. Yeah.
How the heck did you end up at a Bob Marley concert?
Well, we went to Barbados. It was with our friends, the Blackburns. And Ian was a Bob Marley fan. And he found out somehow that he was going to be in. I think he's from Trinidad, and he was going to be in Barbados, and so he got tickets, and the four of us went, his wife and my wife and we saw Bob Marley perform, and that was my goodness, that's what 39 years ago.
That's amazing. Because how many people in Cornwall can say they saw the legendary Bob Marley perform?
Not very many, because he didn't last long. He died mid-70s?
How long a set was it? Did he perform a lot of songs?
He was on stage for quite a while. I think there was only one group that played ahead of him, then there was a single guy, a singer, and then Marley come out. And it's really funny, when the concert was over and we got up to leave, and there were four of us, white people, and everybody else was colored. It was really funny that, you know, his ragey type of music, what the hell do they call it?
Reggae.
Reggae attracts the black population of Barbados. It did attract them. And I was surprised that there weren't more white people at the concert. I think the theater, I'm guessing now, but I would say maybe 1,000 people. It's kind of funny they call it the Globe Theater, because is it not the Globe Theater that William Shakespeare performed in London? Wasn't it called the Globe?
It was. I think there's it's sort of like there's a whole chain of Globe Theaters that everywhere where they start a theater, they like to call it the Globe.
Yeah,
like a traditional name.
Yeah, we.
What did you think of Bob's performance?
It was different. I'd never even heard of the guy, quite honestly. It was something different. I'd not seen anything like that before. But we did follow that up with another visit to the forum in Montreal about 3 years later, maybe 2 or 3 years later, when he performed at the Molson Center. What do they call it? where the Canadian
the old
played.
Forum?
The old Forum.
Yeah.
Forum, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did perform there 2 or 3 years later, and we went down again to see him.
So you saw Bob Marley twice.
Yep, yeah. I mean, that was in Montreal, that was my first run-in with marijuana. I didn't even know what the hell it was. When I was in school, they didn't have any of it on campus. Well, they might have, but I didn't know about it. And that poor Forum was just filled with smoke. It was unbelievable.
Oh, every concert. I went to a couple dozen concerts at the old Forum. And, that was, I think they passed it out as you were entering the door.
Well, there were three couples sitting in front of us, and they kept passing this thing back and forth, all taking a puff on it. And our wives, again, we went with the Blackburns, and our wives got kind of high just from the smoke coming up.
Well,
it was really kind of different for me because I hadn't been exposed to that kind of thing. I didn't know that. I knew about it, but like I said, it wasn't exposed. I know it sounds kind of stupid. You know, you wouldn't know about that, but it was a word to us. I think they called it, they didn't even call it marijuana. They called it Mary Jane?
Mary Jane was a popular term in the 70s and the 60s.
Yeah,
It's been called a lot of different things.
Yeah, but I quite enjoyed them the second time. I knew what to expect, but the first time I didn't know what to expect. I had no idea who he was. And I guess when he performed when we saw him in Barbados, he wasn't anybody either. He was just Bob Marley from Trinidad and Tobago.
Well, he broke barriers, and he turned reggae into a commercially viable music form. So, I think the world changed with Bob Marley's music a little bit. And in honor of you being one of the probably only Cornwallians to have seen Bob twice, I think we're going to play a few Bob Marley cuts to end the show tonight.
Okay, without the grass, right?
Hey, just we're drinking water tonight because it's not the 80s anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, it's
Joe, I want to thank you for guesting on the show tonight. I'm sure we'll have you back on again.
It's nice talking to you, Jamie, and I wish you luck with this endeavor. This is
thank you very much.
You're breaking new ground here, and I hope it's successful for you.
All right. Well, you have a good night and enjoy the game.
I will. I'm off to the game now.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Take care.
Bye-bye. That was Joe Gunn of Royal Apache Performance Realty. I want to thank him for coming onto the show. And my gosh, two Bob Marley concerts. And I think this is one of Joe's favorite songs. It's called Stir It Up.
Yeah. Locked in the bang when you hit the brick.